Got shoes on now. There was a shoe problem. I understand. I have a little girl who was not only shoeless in church a time or two, but I saw her feet sticking up above the pew a few times. I'm here to introduce Timothy Luster, and this is a bio. Okay, so there's going to be pronunciation mistakes in here, Brody. So I apologize for making fun of you. A few months ago, Tim learned to preach at the feet and under the guidance and influence of the late great pioneer gospel preacher Dr. Marshall Keeble, and studied in his school in Nashville Christian Institute from 1965 to 1968. Tim was among the last class to matriculate through NCI and finished second in his class, named salutatorian of his class. Tim has served 7 congregations in 3 states, Michigan, California, and Oklahoma. He's preached for more than 57 years. Tim preached his first sermon at the age of 14 and has been involved in preaching and ministry ever since. He's been involved in mission works in Monroe, Michigan, and served as a missionary to the country of Guyana, South America, serving in the remote villages, Caledonia Village, New Amsterdam, and Springlands, Corriverton. I don't feel good about that one. Tim has spoken on various lectureships, gospel meetings, revivals, and workshops across North and South America. He's been married to his wife, Verona, for 42 years, and they are the proud parents of 5 adult children, Brent Lamar, Brandy, Linnea. Did I do that wrong? Is that close? Timothy II, Ari, Aurelia, Aaron, Lynn. They're also the proud grandparents of 6 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. Bless you for that. Tim is currently serving as an evangelist for the Lord at the North Sheridan Church of Christ in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he's humbly served for 22 years. Tim has an intense passion for preaching, ministry, and reaching out to the lost. Quote, I love the Lord, and I love to preach the word. Though I hold no degrees or significant credentials, I'm forever grateful to God for putting me in the ministry and blessing me with a servant to him and his children. That's a humbling statement, but I would add, Tim is well known in Tulsa. And we have favorites here. I'm just going to tell you right now, we play favorites on our summer series, and you've been one of our favorites since you first came here. So I now turn the pulpit over to Timothy Luster.
Good evening. I can't begin to tell you how humbled I am at the invitation to come again to be with you. It's good to see all of you. You guys look good. Amen. You're aging well. It's wonderful to be here again, and I've looked forward to this since I got the call to come. I've looked forward to this time once again to be here. It's really a joy. Great to meet your preacher for the first time, and hope we can get better acquainted, you know, later on. Amen. One correction. Our children's names. Let's see if I can remember now. Brent and Brandy Linnell, Ari L'Oreal. Brent and Brandy, Tim II. Wow, I must be getting dementia here or something. I can't remember all their names. But that's all 5 of them. Aaron, our youngest, Aaron Lynn. Thank you guys for thinking of them and for introducing them. Pray for us as we still grieve the loss of our youngest daughter, Ari. She passed away from colon cancer a few years ago, 1917. She passed away. And we still grieve that loss. She was so close to our hearts. But pray for us in that, okay? Again, grateful to be here. And I really appreciate the theme. I have learned. And I've chosen a passage to read, first of all, from Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 13. And you'll find these words very familiar, I'm sure. Listen to these words as we begin our study tonight. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. By the way, y'all can say amen. You have my permission. I like to hear amen, so let's. I think y'all know that by now, don't you? Everything that we hope to share with you here tonight with respect to the theme is focused on and influenced by this simple little phrase. Learning is the key to knowing how. Remember that. Learning is the key to knowing how. Amen? We're not convinced that everybody gets it. When it comes to understanding and knowing how to live in this life according to how Jesus teaches us through the Word, and by way of our own experience, not everyone can say, I got it. Amen. When we were given the theme of this series, you know, I didn't quite know how to take it. Nevertheless, I was impressed with the theme because it told me that a very personal approach would be appropriate and would be expected. Amen? Okay. I appreciate the theme because I have always believed that any good teaching sermon is one that comes from the heart as well as from the scripture. The personal touch is critical to the scripturally based sermon if it is to touch the lives and the hearts of the listeners or of the worshipers. Amen? I've always said and I've always believed that when I preach to the church on Sunday morning, I don't do an evangelistic sermon. I preach to the church. I preach to touch the hearts of the members. I preach to reach the spirit of what makes a person who they are. I preach the word that the Spirit gives me so that the lives of every person who hears the message is touched and perhaps changed in some way. Amen. I borrow the text in Paul's epistle here to the Philippian church because here the great apostle is writing from his heart And he is presenting a lesson that is by design reaching into the hearts of everyone to whom this letter is addressed, including those of us today who would learn from these words. Amen. Plus, Paul uses the words, I have learned. Amen. And that tells me that he had to go through stuff. Amen. Does it tell you that? Amen. So you're with me. So very often, you know, spiritual lessons are among the most challenging to learn because they typically go against the grain of the flesh, which is often, too often, our schoolmaster. That is, in learning how to live and how to choose the right path to walk in this life. I found it interesting, the words that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 in reference to what we just said here, beginning at verse 23, where he said, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Amen. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul's very instructional and compelling lesson is one that he learned not from books. He didn't learn it from theology. He didn't learn it from observation of the pattern of living in the community and in the world around him. Paul's learning was harvested from basic life experiences which God orchestrated for him. And a good part of his learning came from experiencing life with Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. He learned from experience what it meant to walk with Jesus. And so he passes this on to the saints there in Philippi. And which now comes down to us here today. Amen. So what I hope to share with you is concerning my life experiences. What I have learned in part through my own life experience. Experience which I attribute also to God's orchestration. So let me start right here. And I try to be very brief with this little story. When I was very young, about 9 years old, my parents, after moving from the South up to the Detroit area, they were already members of the church, but they had stopped going for a while. Well, this particular Sunday, they decided to go back, and they took us with them. Me and all my siblings. I grew up with seven other children. I'm the third of seven. And walking into that worship service and going to church for the first time, I was amazed. I was so impressed by everything that I saw, everything that I heard, you know, never before having this experience. As I sat there in the pew next to my mother, I was looking around and observing everything and noticing everybody. And I noticed in particular the preacher while he was preaching. I was so impressed with that, with his words, with what he was saying. I didn't understand everything, but I was very impressed with everything that was going on. I leaned over and tapped my mother on the arm, get her attention. She leaned over and I said, "Mama, I want to do that," pointing at the preacher. That day started a series of events that led me to become a preacher and to have preached now for 57 years. Little did I know, I had no idea that my father and the preacher had already constructed or comprised this whole thing for me to go to NCI. And my father came to me one day and he asked me, he said, "Timmy, do you want to go to visit with your auntie? I had a favorite aunt down in Mississippi that I'd love to go and visit." He said, "You want to go down and visit with your aunt for the summer, or would you rather go to school?" I said, "Well, I think I want to go to school, Daddy." He had already arranged for me to go, so I didn't know that, but he had. So the preacher had agreed to drive me down to NCI, me and a couple of other young men. And we went there under the teaching of Brother Marshall Keeble. An experience I will never forget and I will always cherish, because it'll always be with me. I learned so much from that. I not only learned how to preach, but I learned how to minister, how to serve, and how to make the scripture become a part of me. You follow what I'm saying? That's what makes a preacher a preacher. That is, a preacher of the gospel. There's a lot of preachers that preach a lot of other stuff. But when you preach the gospel, you have to preach what the Lord gives you. You follow what I'm saying? Amen. From that day to this, my parents were the greatest support and encouragement in my pursuit to learn ministry. Since then, I have learned many challenges in my life, as well as many humbling lessons I've learned. Lessons which have led me to share with you tonight this very brief account of what I have learned. As we looked in the text, it seems strange, however, that a man in prison would be telling a church to rejoice. But Paul's attitude teaches us an important lesson. Our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Amen? Learning that lesson was most needed and helpful to me when I faced situations and circumstances in my ministry that challenged my resolve to be faithful to the word of God and also to God's leadership in my life, and to preaching the gospel. Paul was full of joy. He was. Because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus was with him. Amen. That's a lesson that we all need to learn. Amen. To know that whatever the situation is that we have to face on any day, in any season, at any moment, Jesus is with us. And with Jesus with us, we can always find joy. I said, always find joy. Amen. Several times in this letter, Paul urged the Philippians to be joyful, probably because they needed to hear this. Amen. Paul was able to share this lesson because he learned it. He learned the lesson himself, a lesson we all must learn and share as well. Amen. Amen. It's easy. It's easy to get discouraged about unpleasant circumstances, isn't it? Amen, Walls. It's easy to take unimportant events too seriously, isn't it? I have learned, and yet I'm still learning, to find joy in the midst of trouble, joy in the midst of heartache, and even joy in the midst of pain. Hearing that or seeing that, many will think that's just a pipe dream. That's impossible. How can you find joy when you have pain? Where is there joy in trouble? Where does joy hide in the midst of heartache? I have learned to look at life from the perspective of God being in control. Listen to me. If you haven't been joyful lately, you may not be looking at life from the right perspective. I have learned that ultimately, joy comes from Christ dwelling within us. I have learned that ultimately joy comes from having, because Christ is living within us. I got a few amens there. I've also learned this. As we are God's children in the world, and we are representative of God. Amen. We represent God, we represent Jesus, we represent the Holy Spirit, don't we? As we are representatives of God in the world, there is a certain attitude that must be reflective of us. There is a certain air that we must carry in the world. And there is a certain responsibility within us that we must be an influence for good, no matter what. Amen? There's a lot of bad stuff going on around us. A lot of evil. Right now, right here. In Glenpool. In Tulsa. In the world. But in the midst of all of this evil, in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening, as we are students of the Word, students of God's leadership, there is something that we have to let the world know that we've learned. What we've learned is that God is in control. And with God in control, we don't have to worry about anything. Y'all not hearing me. We are to be gentle, that is reasonable, fair-minded, and charitable to those outside of the church. And not just to fellow Christians. Amen. This means that we are not to seek revenge against those who treat us unfairly. There's a lot of that going around. Amen. Nor are we to be overly vocal about our personal rights. But that's a whole nother subject, and I don't think I want to get into that one. Do you believe, or can we believe, that you don't have to worry? Take me seriously as we practically look at this whole idea. Can you really believe that you don't have to worry? So many people believe that worry is just a part of living. We can't help but worry, right? At least that's the attitude I see in society. And in the church. Yeah, I see it in the church. Can't help but worry. What does the Lord tell us? The Lord tells us not to worry. Doesn't he? Amen? The Lord says, don't worry. You think the Lord would tell us to do something that we couldn't do? Do you believe the Lord would instruct us to do something that was impossible for us to accomplish? I dare say not. Don't worry. Imagine, if you can, never being anxious about anything. Imagine that. We all have worries, though, don't we? Now, I just told you we shouldn't. But we do. We do. We have worries on the job. We have worries in the home. We have worries at school. Amen. And in very recent times, we have other things that have I don't want to say crept up, but other things that have happened now in society that have caused us another degree of worry. We sometimes worry about going shopping or worry about gathering at sporting events. We might worry about going to a place where a lot of people are gathered together. And the reason that worry comes in, because now people have guns that they want to shoot at people. And they choose to do it at the expense of other lives. Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayers. Amen? If you want to worry less, then pray more. God's peace is different from world's peace. It truly is one of the most wonderful blessings that Jesus left with his disciples before leaving this world. He tells them over in John, the 14th chapter, he said this, "Peace I leave with you." Did y'all hear that? Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now imagine this, these words in the scenario of what's going on in society right now. Much of the Lord's teaching, much of his instruction goes against the grain. Doesn't follow the pattern of life. It goes against the grain of what we believe, against the grain of what we're used to, against the grain of what we would rather have happen. Amen. Goes against the grain of my thinking, my preferences, my rathers. And the reason he goes against the grain is because he's trying to make you and I strong enough to stand up against the Satan's attack on our spirits and on our world. And believe it or not, it's up to us. It's up to us to accept, to believe, and to trust in what the Lord gives us. Amen? True peace is not found in positive thinking. It cannot be found even in the absence of conflict. Peace is not found in good feelings. Amen. But I have learned this, that peace comes from learning and knowing again that God is in control. Amen. Every event, that we are privileged to experience in our lives as true believers and as followers of Christ, every event is orchestrated and controlled by God. We don't know, however, when or if God is going to allow Satan to touch us. Now, hear me. I just went through a series of studies with the congregation through the book of Job. We studied all through Job. Oh, man, that was a rich lesson. I tell you. We went through Job and we discovered so many things there that we right now can harvest for ourselves to give us the strength we need in order to live knowing and believing and trusting in God's control in our lives. If you remember, God and Satan had a meeting right there. You remember? Okay. And I need some encouragement here, you know, sometimes. God and Satan had a meeting, you know. And God asked Satan, "Where you been?" "Oh, I've been going to and fro in the earth, doing this and that, you know, whatever I'm big enough to do." Then he asked him, he said, "Well, look, have you considered Now, these words are important. Have you considered my servant Job? Did y'all hear that? Have you considered my servant Job? And then he goes on to compliment his servant Job. How he was a good man. How he was upright and he eschewed evil and he stood for right. And Job was everything that God expected. God was impressed with him, you know. And when I read that story and I got into that study, I said, man, if I could live so that God is impressed with me like that. Jackpot. But God was impressed with Job so. And God knew. He knew him. He knew Job. He knew his spirit. He knew what he could take. He knew what he could handle. He knew what would happen if Satan touched him. And he said, okay, you can touch him. Just don't kill him. Amen? And so he did. And all the things that Job went through, all the things that he suffered, because Satan got busy in his life, doing everything he could to turn Job away from God. But it didn't work. Amen. And that's the end of the story. It didn't work. And in the end, God gave Job twice as much as he had before. Lord, have mercy. Amen. What I have learned, I have learned to trust God more than anything else, more than myself, more than other men. I trust God more than elders. I simply trust God. And to say that and to know that, it's a feeling that I wish I could pass on to you. I wish you could know that as I do. Because I've allowed myself to learn the lesson that God is in control. He's in control of my life. He's in control of my circumstances. He's in control of my home. He's in control of my car. He's in control of my money. God is in control. Amen. And everything that happens to me because he said, it's okay. Everything that happens to me, it happens to me because God allows it. And you know what? I find so much strength in Paul's words. If I can remember. Uh-oh, there goes the bell, isn't it? I find strength in knowing that whatever happens in my life, whatever experience I'm having, whatever trouble I might be faced with, whatever challenge comes down the pike, I know that God is allowing it and that whatever it is, I can handle it. I know I can handle it because God would not allow it to happen if I couldn't. He told me that. He told me that. If you can't handle it, don't worry about it. If you can handle it now, if it happens to you, it's good. You're going to be able to handle it because I'm going to allow it. Amen. Amen. That's called having a personal relationship with God. Amen. I've learned to have a personal relationship with God. Amen. I think I better stop here. I really appreciate this, you guys. I really appreciate your patience in listening. I really do. I get encouragement from preaching. I get encouragement from preaching. And when you listen and I see smiles on your face, amen. Amen. Is there an invitation that needs to be extended or? All right. Why don't you pray with me at this time as we close? Dear God, our Father, kind and gracious Lord, humbly we bow before you, dear God, recognizing you as God and thanking you for being God. Thanking you for blessing us, Father, with this night and with this time. Thanking you for bringing us to this place that we could share together, Father, in these words. Thank you for teaching us the lesson and helping us to understand and giving us strength through all that we have experienced and will yet experience. Thank you for this congregation, Father, and for the preacher and for the elders and all of the members, Father, that serve you here. We ask your blessings upon each and every one. Care for us all, Father, as we disassemble from this gathering. Guide us safely to our destinations and keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.